I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. If you're using a pew Bible, you can find them on page 839. You know, sometimes you just have to admit defeat. And I have to stand before you today and admit that again to you today. I intended to preach on an extended passage out of Luke 21 today. It's a long passage. It's an important passage. And it's more than just a bit of a challenging passage. And I had a great many things that I wanted to say to you today about all that's found in that passage. But I had a great amount of difficulty as I wrestled with that passage. All these things to say, all these things to point out, but how to say them. How to craft them into a sermon that would honor God's word and that would communicate these truths well. And that sermon just didn't come together for me. This week. It's the second time I think I've had to admit that to you in these last few months. Whether it was a combination of my frailty, my weakness, distractions, I'm sorry. It just didn't come together, and rather than to just present a mess to you, I felt led by the Lord to hold off on that message for today. Amy last night knew the circumstance that I was in and said, you know, you don't really have to preach that passage. You could preach something else. And I resisted that idea at first. I said, Lord, Amy, I trust in God's providence. He has us in this passage for a reason, and I trust that He's going to help me bring this together. And as much as I wanted that to be the case, it didn't happen. And I finally, reluctantly, also recognized that in the providence of God, God gave me a godly woman with much wisdom and insight. And so I yielded to Amy's discretion. I yielded to discretion. I'm holding off on preaching that passage on Luke 21 until next week. Hopefully it'll be better than what it would have been this morning. I'm not sure if it will be. So today, instead, I will preach a message to you on a portion of Scripture which seems much more straightforward and more readily communicated to you well, even by me. And I think also even given these events of this past week and the way that that for so many of us, our hearts have been made anxious by this killing of Charlie Kirk. I pray that the Spirit may minister to any anxious hearts here among us today through this particular word. So this passage that we're going to look at is Mark's account of Jesus calming the storm. Our passage will be Mark 4, verses 35 to 41. Let's look at that now. Let's turn our attention again to the reading of God's holy, living, and inerrant word. Mark writes and says, on that day when evening had come, he, Jesus, said to them, to his disciples, let us go across to the other side of the lake. Leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. They woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Do you see what that says there in verse 41? They were afraid because their lives were in danger in the storm. They go to Jesus, do something. Jesus does this great thing of calming the wind and the waves with but a word. And what's the disciples' response? Verse 41. They were filled with great fear. They were fearful earlier. Their boat was filling with water. Jesus delivers them. And they are so struck by what they have just experienced that they now are filled with even greater fear. Pray with me. Lord, we see throughout Scripture many occasions where when someone comes into your presence, or even in the presence of angels, the response is to tremble in fear and to fall on one's knees. Like the response of Isaiah, I am undone. The disciples were undone for a moment in the storm. And then they were undone by being in the presence of this one who was able to do this thing that they experienced, that they witnessed. It's good for those who follow you in faith, Lord, to have a reverent, godly fear of you. Because you are altogether powerful. Remind us, Lord, of your greatness, of your power, of your uniqueness. Remind us of how you hold all things in your hands, including wind and waves, including our lives, including all those storms that come against us. And may you lead us through these truths and through your Spirit from fear to faith. Be pleased to do that through your Word and your Spirit today. Well, storms do come. Trials come. What are we to do when trials and storms come into our lives? What are we to do as men and women, boys and girls of faith, when water is filling up our boats, when the wind and the waves are crashing up against our lives? What are we to do when it feels as if you are perishing? What are we to do in such times? We turn to and we trust in and we rest in the Lord, because He's the one who brings peace in the midst of storms. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, be still and know that I am God. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. That's what we're told in Psalm 46. And then there's Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. I want to encourage you, righteous women, to also run into the name of the strong tower and find your safety in that and in Him as well. This experience that the disciples have here as they find themselves in this raging storm, they turn to Jesus for help, and He acts, He delivers them, He brings them to safety. And all of these events lead them to a question: who is this? Who is this that He commands the wind and the water
and they obey him?
You know, that's a great question for us to ask as well. Who is this man? Who is this Jesus? That, I would suggest, is perhaps the most important question for any person to ask and to find the answer and to receive and to submit to the answer that God provides in His Word. Answering that question of who is this Jesus? In our study of Luke, we're in the last few days of the earthly ministry of Jesus. This story that we read today in Mark probably occurs about a year or so into the time that the disciples have been traveling with Jesus. And in that time, they've seen him do a great many amazing things. But it's clear that it's hard for the disciples, and we have to give them a break, right? It's hard for the disciples to wrap their minds fully around that question of who is Jesus. Now, what are some things that the disciples and we also learn from this experience in our passage today? First, we learn that Jesus is the God who may occasionally lead us into a storm. That's what we see here. Make no mistake, Jesus is in control of the situation. Verse 35, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let's go across to the other side." And that's what they did. They get into their boats and they set out to cross to the other side of the lake. And before they know it, they find themselves smack dab in the middle of a fierce storm. Storms can happen to us like that as well. And they can happen just as quickly, just as unexpected. We can be walking along, life can be going just fine, thank you. We can be walking along with Jesus, living our lives even rightly, living in submission to Him, and bam, we find ourselves in the middle of a storm. Who is this Jesus? He's the God who may occasionally lead us into a storm. Why? Why does he do this? We know that answer isn't given directly in this passage. Mark doesn't tell us that exactly right here. But when we find ourselves in a storm, even in the midst of a fierce, difficult trial or storm, I want to encourage you to remind yourself that God is still on His throne and that He is still good and that He is still powerful and that He can deliver you from this trial, deliver you even through this trial, and He can give you peace. Remember those things whenever you might find yourself in a storm. Remember also that God is your refuge, your strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Remember that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and that you may run into that. You may run into Him and find safety. Remember that the world is broken, and we experience the consequences of that brokenness. We experience the consequence of the fall. The realities of sin and death invading the world and invading our lives as well. We live our lives amidst many thorns and thistles. Now, why else might we find ourselves in the midst of a storm? Look at verse 40. When the disciples panic, fearing for their lives, Jesus asked them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you no faith?" It seems that one of the Lord's purposes in allowing us to experience a storm has at least something to do with our faith. These storms are opportunities for us to exercise and to live out our faith. These storms are opportunities for us to gain greater understanding, greater personal experience, greater insight into that question of who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? He's the God who may occasionally lead us into a storm. We also see that He's the God who at times may seem to be unaware or uncaring. Look at verse 38. That's what we see there. The storm's raging, but Jesus seems to be, at least to the disciples, seems to be unaware of their plight. He's asleep at the stern of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples awake Him, and the question that they ask is just as much of an accusation, isn't it? When they say, "Don't you even care that we're perishing?" Jesus is the God who at times may seem to us to be unaware or uncaring of our plight as we find ourselves in the midst of a storm. And yes, in His humanity, on this occasion with the disciples, Jesus was asleep. But brothers and sisters, remember this, that Jesus, now ascended and seated again at the right hand of the throne of His Father in heaven, no longer sleeps. Nor does His Father, nor the Spirit. Remember the words of Psalm 121. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." And although it may seem to us at times that the Lord is unaware, Scripture tells us that nothing is hidden from His sight. And friends, you can be sure that God sees you, and He knows what you're going through. And you can be sure that God cares. And if you ever doubt that God cares, just remember the cross. And there you can see how much He cares for you. And what He's willing to do to bring you to the state of peace. Peace not just within yourself, but also peace with the Father through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the God who at times to us may seem to be unaware or uncaring. But don't miss this. Where was Jesus when this storm was raging? Where was Jesus when the disciples asked Him, "Don't you even care that we're perishing?" Where was Jesus when all this was going on? Of course, He was right there with them. They weren't going through this alone. And friends, where is Jesus when you go through a difficult trial? Where is Jesus when you're going through a storm in your life? As He was with the disciples, He is there. He is there with you. And He is because He is Emmanuel, the God who is with us. And He's promised to never leave you, to never forsake you. Who is this Jesus? He's the God who may sometimes lead us into a storm. He's the God who may seem to be unaware or uncaring of our situation. But that's not true, because He's the God who is also right there with us in the midst of the storm. Who is this Jesus? He's the God who is also in control of the storm. And we see that in verse 39. Where Mark tells us that after Christ awoke, He rebuked the winds and the waves and they ceased. and there was a great calm. Christ spoke, and the sea became like glass. Christ spoke, and the wind and the waves obeyed. Such is Christ's control over nature. Such is Christ's control over the storm, over all things. Because Christ is in control of all things. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. By him all things were created on heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus is the God who is in control of the storm, including the storms that you and I may find ourselves in. Who is this Jesus? He's also the God who intends to build your faith and your confidence in him and in his sovereign care of you and all things. I referenced this earlier. On the backside of the storm, on the backside of the disciples panicking, Christ asked them, "Have you no faith?" Christ intends for them to demonstrate, to exercise their faith in the storm. Storms are opportunities for us to do that, for us to grow in doing that. He does that even through storms. The Lord uses storms in our lives to learn things in a way that we would not learn them if we did not have to go through those storms. James 1, 2, verse 2 through verse 4, those familiar verses. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The Lord desires to form our Christian character so that we would respond with the response of faith when we go through storms in our lives. As we experience adversity in our lives, we learn to respond with the response of Job, who says, "Though he slay me, yet shall I trust in him." And shall we accept blessing from the Lord, but not adversity? And the Lord gives, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Friends, trust in the sovereignty of God. Trust in his goodness, his reasons for allowing storms to come into your life, and recognize that he's with you in that storm. Recognize also that he's gone through storms before us, and those were even greater storms than the storm that the disciples experienced this day. For remember, he endured the storm of the cross. Remember that he's the one also who's able to deliver us from the storm. Sometimes he delivers us from the storm. Other times he delivers us through the storm. Here I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Nebuchadnezzar's furnace in Daniel 3. The Lord didn't protect those men from that trial, but he protected them in the midst of the trial. Who is this Jesus? Not only is he the God who can deliver us through or from our storms, but he's also the God who's able to do that by simply speaking a word. Such is the power of his word. In verse 39, Mark says that Christ says to the wind and to the waves, "Peace, be still." And the wind and the waves obey him. Jesus wants to grow our faith so that we'll recognize him as being the one who can calm all that which might threaten us. And that he can do that with a word. We remember, though, that he didn't do that for himself. When Jesus was arrested and Peter sought to fight his arresters, Christ said to him, "Put your sword back into its place. Do you not think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he would not at once send me more than 12 legions of angels to defend me? Christ allowed himself to perish so that we would not. But of course, how we give thanks to the Father that the Father vindicated him by raising him from the dead. And because he's alive this very moment, we spoke of this in our adult Sunday school class this morning. Because Jesus is alive this very moment, seated in heaven at the Father's right hand, ruling over all things, he's able now to help us in our times of need. For he is not a dead Savior, but he is alive and he is active, watching over and protecting and defending and delivering his people in and through the storms. Whenever you might find yourself in a storm, seek by the Spirit's enablement to exercise your faith, to respond with the responses of faith. Responses of faith such as that of Philippians 4, when the Apostle Paul reminds us that the Lord is the God of all peace. And he encourages us as we face trials, as we face storms in life, he encourages us saying, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Remember your faith. Remember who Jesus is. Remember how he has promised and how he has shown himself faithful to deliver you. Don't go through the storms of your life the way in which non-Christians would go through that same trial. But instead, go through those trials trusting in Jesus and in the power of his word to bring peace into your life. Remember that he doesn't intend to destroy you through these storms that he may allow to come upon you, but instead to strengthen your faith. Remember also that when we face trials, it's an opportunity for the Lord to receive glory and honor through the ways in which we entrust ourselves to him in the midst of those trials. Friends, Jesus is our burden-bearing Savior who can calm the storm, and he beckons us to trust in him, to rest in him, to come to him. And he promises that when we do that, we will find peace. We will find peace for our weary souls. He gives us peace as we face the trials of life. He can also give us the grace and mercy that we need in those times as well. Hebrews 4. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive the mercy and grace that we need for help in our time. In the midst of the storm on the lake that day, Jesus said, peace, be still. And as you're facing the storms of your life, ask him to speak those words to you. Ask him to say to your weary and troubled souls and hearts and minds, ask him to say those words to you. Peace. Be still. A final word about our passage. After their panic, Christ asked the disciples, have you no faith? Or in Matthew's account, O ye of little faith.
But don't miss this. Although their faith was quite small, don't miss that it was also a faith that looked to Jesus.
They recognized that their only hope for making it through that storm, their hope wasn't found in themselves, but that hope for deliverance and survival could only be found in Jesus. And friends, that's not an entirely bad faith to have. I'll close with these words of Christ from John 14. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And then John 16:33, those familiar words. In this, I've said these things that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. Pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you that you've overcome the world. And we thank you for your word, this word of power. This word which tells us that all who trust in you have also been made to be able to overcome. Help us, Lord, to look to you to be our refuge, to look to you to be our strength, to look to you to be our very present help in times of trouble, in times when we find ourselves in the storm. Help us to look to you that way in faith at all times. And we pray this in your glorious, matchless name. Amen.